Resentment for authority is not a new idea. I'm sure you can think, perhaps in a place that you have worked before, of someone who has constantly complained about their boss. I'd almost go so far as to say, if you haven't heard someone complaining about their boss, have you ever worked at all? For wherever you go, whatever work you are involved in, I am sure you have come across someone who has complained about their boss. Someone who has complained about them being a stickler for the rules. Someone maybe who has complained about their punctuality and their desire for all their workers to be punctual too. Maybe someone who complains that they don't get enough respect or they don't get enough rewards from their boss. Whatever it is, I'm sure you have come across someone like that. Someone who resents the person who is in that position of authority over them. Well, as we commenced, I said, this is not a new idea. For in the chapter we have before us, in Numbers chapter 16, we find a group of men who resent the persons of authority over them. As we mentioned before we commenced our reading, this chapter outlines the events surrounding three men in particular called Korah, Dathan and Abiram. These three men, along with another 250 of the congregation of Israel, resented and rebelled against Moses and Aaron. All because they felt that Moses should not be the high priest, that Moses and Aaron had taken upon themselves too much power, too much authority, and they said, well, surely we should also be an authority likewise. I'm sure you've come across such people. They think that we are the bee's knees. We should be the ones calling the shots. Well, here were men who felt that way themselves. Yet, rebellion is sin. These men, in rebelling against Moses and Aaron, they didn't just rebel against men, but they rebelled against God. These were God's anointed ones. These were the ones whom God had called out from Israel to lead his people and to instruct them and to guide them through the wilderness. Korah, Dathan and Abiram sinned against God. And this is a very solemn and sobering chapter of God's word. For in it we read how God poured out his wrath and his judgment upon rebellious men. We read in those opening verses that we commenced this evening from verse 31 down to verse 35 of this judgment that fell upon these rebellious men. It happened in a most remarkable and indeed miraculous fashion. The very ground beneath these men opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, Abiram and all of their families into the ground. I'm sure we would say it was like a sinkhole. Maybe you have seen some of those on the news. The ground just opens up beneath and everything falls into it. These men disappeared literally from the face of the earth. And then we read in verse 35 that a fire came down from the Lord out of heaven and consumed the other 250 men. You see, rebellion against God must be judged. Sin must be punished. And here these men, they were punished in a most remarkable fashion. And this should have spoken to the children of Israel, well, we must stay clear from sin. We must be careful in our walk that we do not fall into the same traps that they fell into. We must make sure that we do not murmur against God, that we do not murmur against Moses and Aaron. And yet what do we find the children of Israel doing only a short period of time later? In verse 41 we see that the children of Israel fall into the same trap that Korah, Dathan and Abiram did. Look at verse 41. But, there's a word to take heed, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Oh, do you notice the word all? It wasn't a select few in the congregation. It wasn't just the most noble. It wasn't just the most powerful. It was every single one in the congregation of Israel was murmuring against Moses and Aaron. Or does this not remind us of the state of man today? The state of man naturally is in rebellion to God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen. All of us have rebelled against God. Isn't it also the case that we can sin and we can repent of our sin and then we fall into the same sin again as believers? Can't it be possible that you tonight are unsaved and you come into God's house and you hear the gospel preached again and again and again and you know I shouldn't do this particular sin and yet you go and do it again? Well, that's what Israel was guilty of. You know, they had many privileges like we do today. They had the word of God being told to them. They knew what was expected of them, and that yet they sinned again. Oh, here was a people that was without excuse. And that is what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans. He says, ye are without excuse. And yet God saw the sin of the murmuring of the children of Israel, and he was filled with wrath and indignation against them. Oh, for the Lord says in verse 45 to Moses, get you up from this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. See, sin must be punished. And yet while this is a solemn and a sobering chapter of God's word, yet we find in the concluding verses of this chapter that there is mercy to be found with God. For while Israel deserved to be cast away from God, while they deserved for God's wrath to be poured upon them, yet in these final verses we find that there was deliverance through an atonement. You see, the atonement is the theme that runs throughout God's word. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Whatever page you turn to in God's word, it will point you to Christ and his person and work. And here we have a portion of God's word that shows us something of the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We see that through the work of Aaron, the high priest. You see, Aaron is a type or a picture of Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest. The priesthood of Christ is one of those three functions which he fulfills as the mediator of the covenant. And therefore Aaron here, as he goes through his duties as high priest, we are led to see Jesus Christ and his work as high priest also. And therefore, as we consider these verses, let us consider Aaron as a type of Christ. And I want you to consider, first of all, from these verses, the appointment for Aaron. Aaron was a man who had been appointed to this position by God himself. Aaron had been set forth out of all of Israel to take up this role and this function to serve God in this capacity as high priest. See, only one could be high priest at any one time. You couldn't have a plethora of them. You couldn't have a multitude of them. You could only have one who is high priest. And Aaron was this one person who was set aside to be the high priest of the children of Israel. And we read of how Aaron was set aside and appointed as high priest in the book of Leviticus in chapter 8. And in that chapter we read of all of the different things that were done to Aaron to set him aside and to consecrate him and to appoint him as priest before God. Oh, he was washed with water, signifying one who was to be pure. He was given an ephod and a breastplate to signify the righteousness of God. He was anointed with oil before the congregation of Israel to show, here is one who has publicly been set aside to serve God in the things pertaining to himself. Well, that last fact is very important. Whenever you read through the Old Testament and you come to a prophet, a priest or a king, They were, yes, appointed, but they were also anointed to their position. Those who were anointed were done so to show people publicly, here is one who is set aside for this function. Well, the same is done, was done, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he was appointed by God, and we will see this in a little moment, but he was also anointed by God. Whenever he was here on earth, and you remember there in Matthew chapter 3, when that dove, that likeness came down upon him from heaven, and the Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was his anointing. He was shown publicly to be the Son of God. He was shown publicly to be the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And yet we must see that Aaron was appointed, and that Christ, like him, was appointed to his position as high priest. And we see something of this in the book of Hebrews. If you turn there to Hebrews chapter 5, you will see something of this. For indeed, the entire book of Hebrews tells us much of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 5 in particular, we find verses that link Aaron and our Saviour in this role. For in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5, we read these words. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. Oh, there we see how Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, he joins the role of Aaron as high priest and the role of Jesus Christ as high priest. Where he says there in verse 4, no man taketh this honour unto himself. It is not something that one chooses for themselves. It is not something that Aaron was able to say, well, I fancy this position. I want to have authority and power over my peers. No, it is one that is given unto those who are called of God, as was Aaron. And verse 5 goes on to show how Christ, in like fashion, he did not choose this for himself, but it was given to him. For it says in verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him. There it is, speaking of the Father. That function that was given to him by the Father in the covenant of grace, that is what Christ accepted. He accepted to be the mediator of his people. He accepted to be the high priest that would both offer and be the offering for their sins. Well, just as Aaron was chosen for office, so God the Father appointed the Son to be the high priest for his people. We know many people today, they go to priests and they believe that here is one who can help me in my need. Here is one who can forgive my sin. But let me tell you tonight, no man can forgive your sin. No priest in this world can forgive sin. Only the great high priest who has been appointed by God himself has any power to forgive and to cleanse from unrighteousness. The high priest that is Jesus Christ. And so we see that, yes, Aaron was appointed high priest, but why was he appointed high priest? What was he appointed for? Well, if you're still in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, you'll see what exactly the high priest was appointed for. For in Hebrews 5 and the verse 1, we read these words, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Oh, that is what the appointment of the high priest was for. It is for men. He represents men before God. and things pertaining to God. That's speaking of those activities which relate to God himself. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You see, man by himself cannot approach unto God. He needs to come through another. In the Old Testament times, the people brought their sacrifices to the high priest. And he alone could walk into the Holy of Holies on that one day of atonement and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. The people couldn't do it themselves. They needed another to go in for them. And likewise, we cannot approach unto God in and of ourselves, but only through Jesus Christ. It is only through him and his sacrifice that we can draw nigh to God. It is only through the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross that you can ever come into his presence in heaven. Well, we see this work that was appointed for Aaron in our portion in Numbers chapter 16. Because in verse 46 we see how Moses speaks to Aaron and he tells him to take a censer and to take fire from off the altar and put on incense and to go and make atonement. That is the work of a high priest. He says this to Aaron because no one else was permitted to do these things. See, the high priest has a very particular role and function. Only Jesus Christ can make atonement for sin. He alone is the one who was given that task by the Father. And so we see the appointment for Aaron. But notice secondly from our portion, the attitude of Aaron. Because this passage before us, it reveals so much to us of the attitude and of the character demonstrated by Aaron as high priest. And there are three facets which I want you to consider. And as we go through these three different aspects, you will see, I am sure, how it links to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, Aaron's affection for the people. Here is a man who had been abhorred and reviled by the people. A man who the people had murmured against. A man whom the people had said, he is not our high priest. He should not be the one over us. We reject him. Oh, does that not speak to us of what the Lord faced here upon earth? We read in the book of John, and John chapter 1, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isaiah prophesies he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man who is despised and rejected of men. Oh, there we see here Aaron. He was before the congregation of Israel. And he would have been well within his rights to say, no, they deserve this. Look at all I have done for them. Look at the warning they just had when the Lord poured forth his wrath upon Korah. Oh, they deserve this. Oh, no, rather he had affection upon them. He saw the people in their need. He saw that they could do nothing for themselves to save themselves from God's wrath and judgment. And he goes forth to make atonement for the people. What a love Aaron had for them. Isn't this what our Lord has done for us at Calvary? We do not deserve his grace, his mercy, or his love. And yet in the book of Hebrews we read that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Oh, you see, Jesus Christ is a merciful high priest. Why? Because he has a deep affection and love for his people. A people that do not deserve anything from him. Oh, what affection Aaron showed to these people, but he also shows devotion to the people. You see, Aaron, he had no fear, it seems, for his own life. The wrath of God was once more poured out upon the people, and there was a plague in the congregation of Israel. People were dying all around him. We don't know what kind of disease it was, but it is clear from this chapter that it was one that was rapid. One that it seems to be was contagious in a very extreme way. one that was spreading through the camp. And yet we read here how Aaron, he rushes to the people's aid. What devotion he shows. He voluntarily went into the midst of the people. He went where the danger was. He went to that place where his life was in danger. All because of his love for the people. Or does this not remind us of the Saviour when he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane? Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. Oh, there as he considered the horrors of what lay before him, there on the cross, yet he realized, Lord, I am willing to do thy will. Despite the dangers before me, despite the horrors of the cross, Lord, I will go. He went out of love. Out of his love for his people, he went and was devoted. And yet when we look at Numbers chapter 16, the devotion of Aaron becomes very much abundant when you look at verse 47. The preceding verse, Moses had given the command to Aaron to go and to make atonement for the people. And we see that Aaron, he took as Moses commanded and ran. Ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. Aaron ran. He didn't say, well, just wait a while. They deserve to receive some punishment for their sin. Oh, just give them a little taste of thy wrath, O Lord. No, he runs immediately. He runs into the danger. Doesn't that remind us of our Lord and Savior, how the scriptures tell us his face was set as a flint towards Jerusalem? Oh, he was devoted to the work the Father had given to him. He despised the shame. He endured the cross. Why? All for the joy that was set before him. Oh, what a devotion we see in the high priest. And so as we consider the attitude of Aaron, we've seen his affection, his devotion. But notice also his association with the people. For Aaron as high priest, he realized, I have to be with the people in order to do my job. We see in verse 47, he ran into the midst of the congregation. But perhaps even more powerfully is the following verse, verse 48, where we read these words, and he stood between the dead and the living. Aaron stood with the dead on one side and the living on the other. Aaron went there and he associated himself with the people. He put himself right in the midst of the congregation. Said, I am one of the congregation, Lord. Turn thy wrath away from them. O Lord, I am standing here interceding on behalf of these people. Lord, wilt thou not be appeased at the sacrifice I make? Is that not what Christ has done on our behalf? He took upon himself human nature. He took to himself a human body and a reasonable soul. He associated himself with us. He became man and he suffered as man and he died as man, all for the sake of man. Jesus Christ associated with man. We read the words that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He associates with us. Therefore we know that we can trust him. We know that he has suffered for us. We know that he has done all that he did in his life, all for our sakes and for our benefit. Oh, what an attitude Christ has shown as our high priest. But I want you also to consider from these verses the atonement offered by Aaron. While we have already noted that Aaron as the high priest was appointed for a specific purpose, and that was to offer sacrifices unto God, more specifically, the function of the high priest was to make atonement. He was the only one who could do so. No one else could go into the Holy of Holies before the mercy seat. Only the high priest could do so on the Day of Atonement. And therefore we find that Moses speaks only to Aaron to make atonement for the people. Moses realized the wrath of God is poured forth onto the people. God needs to be appeased. How can this be done? It is by offering an atonement unto him. See, God's wrath can only be turned away by the offering of a sacrifice, by the shedding of blood. We see that in verse 46, how Moses says, make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. Moses understood the high priest needs to make an atonement in order to satisfy God's justice. Indeed, the Hebrew word for atonement is an interesting word. It has the sense of covering over so as not to be seen. And Moses realizes something needs to be done so that God does no longer look upon the sin of the people, but rather that he would look upon the sacrifice. And so what do we find Aaron doing? Well, we find that he obeys the instructions given to him by Moses, and he takes a censer and he puts fire on that from off the altar of burnt offering. See, Aaron realized it's only on the merits of the sacrifice that God's wrath can be appeased. Oh, he realized there's not time for me to offer up a new sacrifice at this time. This is a very pressing situation. So he runs to the altar and he takes the fire from the altar, the fire that is already consuming a sacrifice, and he brings this before the Lord to make an atonement for the sins of the people. See, the sacrifice had already been slain. The blood had been shed. You see, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. But Aaron recognized, I need to go to the sacrifice. I need to show the Lord, Lord, the sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. Lord, art thou not willing to look upon this sacrifice and to turn away thy wrath? Or see, it is only by the merits of Christ's sacrifice that we can be saved from our sin. Or you might be trusting in yourself tonight. You might be trusting in your own goodness, your own works. You might be trusting in some church. You might be trusting in a priest or a minister. But you cannot trust in any of those things to rid you of your sin. Only the blood of the Lamb that was slain can wash away your sins. What can wash away my sins? The hymn writer says. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, in Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 12 we read, neither by the blood of bulls and of goats, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, Christ, by his sacrifice, he has made atonement for your sin. He has made that once and only sacrifice that is necessary to save you from your sins. Will you not trust on that tonight? Will you not place your trust upon the atoning work of Christ? He has paid it all. And so as we consider these verses and Numbers and Aaron's office of high priest and how it links to our Saviour's, we have noted the appointment for Aaron and the attitude of Aaron, the atonement offered by Aaron. But consider finally and very briefly with me the appeasement gained by Aaron. You see, having stood between the dead and the living and having made atonement for the sins of the people, we see that God's wrath was appeased. Look at verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You see, as soon as atonement was made, the wrath of God was satisfied. God's wrath could no longer be poured forth upon the people because atonement had been made. He had been satisfied. He had been appeased. He had been propitiated. Indeed, that is why it is interesting to notice that Aaron took the censer to offer atonement. You see, the censer was an implement that was used within the tabernacle send up the sweet-smelling fragrance of a special aroma within the veil of the tabernacle. It was taken and coals from off the altar were put upon it, and then there was a sweet-smelling fragrance that was put upon it so that it would ascend as a pleasant and sweet smell. Well, it demonstrated an appeasement, a satisfaction. We read indeed in the book of Ephesians of this sweet-smelling savour in relation to the work that Christ fulfilled on the cross. Where in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." See, Christ's sacrifice had appeased God. It satisfied God. It was like that sweet-smelling fragrance that ascended in the tabernacle behind the veil. Why? Because God was satisfied. You see, the work of the high priest is one that is efficacious. It is one that is effective. It is one that is satisfactory. It is one that is pleasing and pleasant to God. Well, therefore, there is no more work to be done for sins. Christ has paid it all. He cried on the cross, "It is finished." Why? Because it was accepted by God. Oh, what a work our high priest has done for us. A work which no man could do, only one who was appointed by God himself. The God-man Jesus Christ. One who showed such devotion, such affection in going to the cross to make atonement for his people so that God could be appeased against their sins. I wonder, is God appeased with you tonight? Or is God's wrath still upon you? Well, we read in John chapter 3 and verse 36 that he that believeth not on the Son, that God's condemnation that still rests upon them. If you are not believing in Jesus Christ and his finished atoning work, God's wrath still abides upon you. Will you not come to him tonight? There is mercy to be found with him. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.